नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम चैप्टर 20 कैंटो 5 स्टडिंग द स्ट्रक्चर ऑफ द यूनिवर्स। इन दिस चैप्टर देयर इज अ डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ वेरियस आइलैंड्स beginning with Plakshadweep and the oceans that surround them. There is also a description of the location and dimensions of the mountain known as Lokalo. The island of Plakshadweep, which is twice as broad as Jambudweep, is surrounded by an ocean of salt water. The master of this island is Idmajiva, one of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrat. The island is divided into 7 regions, each with a mountain and a large river. The second island is called Shalmali Dvipa. It is surrounded by an ocean of liquor and is 3,200,000 miles wide, twice as wide as Plakshadweep. The master of this island is Yajna Bahu, one of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrat. Like Plakshadweep, this island is also divided into 7 regions, each with a mountain and a very large river. The inhabitants of this island worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Chandratma. The third island, which is surrounded by an ocean of clarified butter and is also divided into 7 regions, is called Kushadweep. Its master is Hiranyaretha, another son of Maharaj Priyavrat, and its inhabitants worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Agni, the fire god. The width of this island is 6,400,000 miles, or in other words, twice the width of Shalmalvideep. The fourth island, Kraunchadweep, which is surrounded by an ocean of milk, is 12,800,000 miles wide and is also divided like the others into 7 regions, each with a large mountain and a large river. The master of this island is Ghrutaprushta, another son of Maharaj Priyavrat. The inhabitants of this island worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of water. The fifth island, Shakadweep, which is 25,600,000 miles wide, is surrounded by an ocean of yogurt. Its master is Medhatithi, another son of Maharaj Priyavrat. It is also divided into 7 regions, each with a large mountain and a large river. Its inhabitants worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Vayu, air. The sixth island, Pushkaradweep, which is twice as wide as the previous island, is surrounded by an ocean of clear water. Its master is Vithihotra, another son of Priyavrat. The island is divided into 2 by a large mountain named Manasottar. The inhabitants of this island worship Swayambhu, another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Beyond Pushkaradweep, there are 2 islands, one always lit by the sunshine and the other always dark. Between them is a mountain called Lokalok, which is situated 1 billion miles from the edge of the universe. Lord Narayan, expanding his opulence resides upon this mountain. The area beyond Lokalok mountain is called Alokavarsha. And beyond Alokavarsha is a pure destination of persons who desire liberation. Vertically, the sun globe is situated just in the middle of the universe, in Antariksha, the space between Bhurlok and Bhuvarlok. The distance between the sun and the circumference of Andagolok, the globe of the universe, is estimated to be 25 koti yojanas, 2 billion miles. Because the sun enters the universe and divides the sky, it is known as Martanda. And because it is produced from Hiranyagarbha, the body of Mahatattva, it is also called Hiranyagarbha. Text 1, Shishuka Uvacha. The verses are in the prose form, so therefore I will read only the translation part. Translation: the great sage Shukadeva Goswami said, "Hereafter I shall describe the dimensions, characteristics and forms of the six islands, beginning with the island of Plaksha." Text 2. As Sumeru mountain is surrounded by Jambudvip, Jambudvip is also surrounded by an ocean of salt water. The breadth of Jambudvip is 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles. And the breadth of the salt water ocean is the same. As a moat around a fort is sometimes surrounded by a garden-like forest, the salt water ocean surrounding the Jambudvip is itself surrounded by Plakshadvip. The breadth of Plakshadvip is twice that of the salt water ocean. In other words, 200,000 yojanas, that is 1,600,000 miles. On Plakshadvip, there is a tree shining like gold and as tall as the Jambu tree on the Jambudvip. As its root is a fire with seven flames. It is because of this the tree is a Plaksha tree, that is, that the island is called Plakshadvip. Plakshadvip was governed by Idmajiva, one of the sons of Maharaj Priyavrat. He endowed the seven islands with the names of his seven sons, dividing the islands among the seven sons, and then retired from active life to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Texts 3rd and 4th, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the seven islands, Varshas, are named according to the names of those seven sons: Shiva, Yavasa, Subhadra, Shanta, Kshema, Amruta, and Abhaya. In those seven tracts of land, there are seven mountains and seven rivers. The mountains are named Manikuta, Vajrakuta, Indrasena, Jyotishman, Suparna, Hiranyastiva, and Meghamala. And the rivers are named Aruna, Nrumna, Angirasi, Savitri, Suptabhata, Rutambhara, Satya and Satyambhara. One can immediately be free from material contamination by touching or bathing in those rivers. And the four castes of people who live in Plakshadvip, the Hamsas, Patangas, Udvayanas and Satyangas, purify themselves in that way. The inhabitants of Plakshadvip live for 1,000 years. They are beautiful like the demigods, and they also beget children like the demigods. By completely performing the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas and by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as represented by the Sun God, they attain the Sun, which is a heavenly planet. Purport. According to the general understanding, there are originally three deities, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And people with a poor fund of knowledge consider Lord Vishnu no better than Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. This conclusion, however, is invalid. As stated in the Vedas, Ishta Purtam Purtam Bahuda Jayamanam Vishvam Bibharti Bhuvanasyan Nabhi Tad Evagnis Tad Vayus Tad Suryas Tadu Chandrama Agni Sarvadaivata. This means that the Supreme Lord, who accepts and enjoys the results of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, technically called Ishtapurta, who maintains the entire creation, who supplies the necessities of all living entities, Eko Bahuna Yo Vidadhati Kama, and who is the central point of all creation, is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu expands as the demigods known as Agni, Vayu, Surya and Chandra, who are simply parts and parcel of His body. Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 23rd verse, Ye apya anya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mame kaunteya yajante avidhipurvakam. Devotees who worship the demigods with firm faith worship me also, but not according to the regulative principles. In other words, if one worships the demigods but does not understand the relationship between the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his worship is irregular. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 24th verse, Aham is sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha. I am the only enjoyer of ritualistic ceremonies. It may be argued that the demigods are as important as Lord Vishnu because the names of the demigods are different. It may be argued that the demigods are as important as Lord Vishnu because the names of the demigods are different from names of Vishnu. This, however, is not a sound conclusion, for it is contradicted in Vedic literatures. The Vedas declare, Chandrama manaso jata chaksho shura ajayata shrota deyascha pranascha mukhad agni rajayata narayanat brahma narayanat ruddho jayate narayanat prajapati jayate narayanat indro jayate narayanat ashto vasavo jayante narayanat ekadasha rudra jayante. The demigods, the demigod of the moon, Chandra, came from the mind of Narayana, and Sun God came from his eyes. The controlling deities of hearing and the life air came from Narayana, and the controlling deity of fire was also generated from his mouth. Prajapati, Lord Brahma, came from Narayana. Indra came from Narayana, and the eight Vasus, the 11 expansions of Lord Shiva and the 12 Adityas also came from Narayana. In the Smriti Vedic literature, it is also said, Brahma Shambhus Tathai Varkash Chandramascha Shatakratu Evam Adyas Tathai Vane Yukta Vaishnava Tejasa Jagat Karya Vasanetu Vyunjante Chatejasa Vitejas Chate Sarve Panchatvam Upayantite. Brahma, Shambhu, Surya and Indra are all merely products of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also true of many other demigods whose names are not mentioned here. When the cosmic manifestation is annihilated, these different expansions of Narayana's potencies will merge into Narayana. In other words, all these demigods will die. Their living force will be withdrawn and they will merge into Narayana. Therefore, it should be concluded that Lord Vishnu, not Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a government officer is sometimes accepted as the entire government, although he is actually but a departmental manager, so the demigods, having achieved power of attorney from Vishnu, act on his behalf. Although they are not as powerful as he, all the demigods must work under the orders of Vishnu. Therefore it is said, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasya Bhavritya. The only master is Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, and all others are his obedient servants who act exactly according to his orders. The distinction between Lord Vishnu and the demigods is also expressed in Bhagavad Gita 9 chapter 25th verse. Yanti Deva Vrata Devan Yanti Madhyajana Pima. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, whereas the worshippers of Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu go to the planets of Vaikuntha. These are the statements of Smriti. Therefore, the idea that Lord Vishnu is on the same level as the demigods is in contradiction to the Shastras. The demigods are not supreme. The supremacy of the demigods is dependent on the mercy of Lord Narayana, Vishnu or Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, in this chapter, Shri Shukadeva Goswami is explaining the structure of the universe, how this universe, what is there in this universe. This exact knowledge has been given in scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam gives that knowledge, that what is there in this universe, what are the different planets, or how to understand this universe. Because if we look in the sky outside, we may not be able to understand. We may have telescope to look in the distant stars, what we may study, but still we'll not get the exact knowledge. We may conclude that there are some rivers on the moon, or different place things are there, craters or things we may see from the telescope. But still, that's not the complete understanding. Because the Shastras explain that how you can understand properly. There are different ways of receiving the knowledge, it is explained. Pratyaksha, Anuman and Shabd. And Shastras explain that the knowledge acquired by direct perception, sense perception, is not perfect. Because our senses are imperfect. We get illusion. We have a cheating propensity. We commit mistakes. So therefore, the knowledge acquired by the senses is not perfect. So this is very important to understand, because that will differentiate what is real knowledge and what is false knowledge. In the material science, we study a lot of things, physics, chemistry, and we can see that all that knowledge has been acquired from the direct perception, sense perception. And there are so many theories put forward that I see this, and therefore this may be like this, and they study a lot of things, what are the spectrums, and a lot of things they study. And they may conclude that this, on this planet, it may be like this or it may be like that. Or we can go to these planets by our own endeavor. Because they may think that, oh, the sun and the moon is closer to us, so we can try to go there. But as long as they don't take the understanding of the scriptures, their knowledge will remain always imperfect. They may say that they went to the moon and it's closer to Earth, but here we can see that the moon is not closer to the Earth. And Srila Prabhupada very logically explains that how to understand this. He says that how the weekdays are named. Correct? Ravi, Som, Bud, Sun, Moon, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Sun is the first, then the Monday, then the moon is coming. And in scriptures also it is excellent. Bhur Bhuvah Swah. Bhur Loka is the earthly planetary system. Bhur Loka is the sun, where the sun is there. And Swarg Loka, the moon is said to be in the heavenly planets. So it's, if you want to get the proper knowledge, then we have to approach proper authorities first. Those who will not concoct according to their imagination. And they're giving knowledge as it is, without any adulteration. Then we'll get proper knowledge. Otherwise, we may get illusion. We may accept illusion to be reality and reality to be illusion. This is possible because our senses are imperfect. And we can see that sometimes we may travel on the road when if it is very sunny, hot, and we may see some kind of mirage on the water, or even in the desert you can see. We may not go to desert, but even in the practical life we can see that on the road we may see some mirage. Because the temperature has gone up, the road has become quite hot. So therefore it may appear that there is water. And you may see the reflection also. But as you come closer, you will see that there is no water. So therefore, the knowledge acquired in this material world may not be perfect always. And as long as we try to receive knowledge from our senses, it may remain imperfect. Therefore, Shastras explain how to receive knowledge. That is the first important aspect. One has to be very clear and should know that Shastras explain that one should hear. Shabda Praman. Hearing is stress again and again. Because by hearing sound vibration, we can receive perfect knowledge. Sound vibration has been given so much importance in scriptures. Because this knowledge, which is first of all beyond our sense perception, we can't imagine what is this, what is the structure of the universe. If we try to imagine according to our own mind or intelligence, we'll come to a wrong conclusion. Srila Prabhupada also, yesterday giving Bhagavatam class, he was explaining a simple point, that if there is some sound on the roof, so there may be 100 people in the room, and everyone may say, okay, sound is produced because of this. There is someone, there is stone, somebody has thrown the stone, or some bird is sitting there. We may come to 100 conclusions according to 100 people. But from whom we can get a proper understanding? A person who is there on the roof. He say that sound is produced because of this. He may be a small child. But if he says that it is produced because of that. So he is perfect. Because he has witnessed. He has seen. So therefore, the knowledge has to be acquired from a proper person. Proper authorities who are coming in a proper disciplic succession. And they are giving not their own knowledge, but they are simply handing down the knowledge in a proper parampara without any adulteration. Then the knowledge will receive, that will be the perfect knowledge. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is giving this knowledge. Shukadeva Goswami is not directly going to Raslila. Parikshit Maharaj was about to die within 7 days. And he could have, they could have discussed, okay, now only 7 days are there. Why? What is the necessity of studying the universe and going into these details? Let us discuss the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But no. He is going step by step. Because the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is like the face of the Supreme Lord. And it is explained that one should not directly look at the face of the Supreme Lord. One should look at the lotus feet of the Lord, then gradually go up. And then in this way, one can gradually rise. That means one should first become, he should have proper understanding of what is this material universe. Basic concept should be very clear. Otherwise, he may take it cheaply, the knowledge. So therefore, the beginning cantos, they make us a proper foundation by which we can, our understanding will become very clear. And in that consciousness or in that attitude, we will understand the 10 canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we'll understand how the activities of the Supreme Lord are transcendental. Otherwise, we may take the activities of the Supreme Lord to be ordinary and material activities. Krishna steals butter. These are not ordinary activities. If some child steals from another's home, his mother will chastise and there will be so much chaos will be there. They will think that, oh, he may become thief in the future. So that these are the symptoms in the beginning. But Krishna stealing butter is still glorified. People are, even the great sages, Satyavat Muni is glorifying how Krishna is stealing butter. So therefore, the activities of the Supreme Lord are not to be understood on the material platform. They are transcendental. And it becomes very clear as we understand the different pastimes performed by the Lord. It becomes quite clear that how these activities are not ordinary activities. And Lord has explained the Bhagavad Gita. He has given this Bhagavad Gita, which is not an ordinary knowledge. The Supreme Lord gives the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That itself will take so many years to understand. People, they can read Bhagavad Gita for many days, and every time they read Bhagavad Gita, they will get some different meaning, deeper realizations. That knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord. not an ordinary person can give. So therefore, we can see that Supreme Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And he explains in Bhagavad Gita that who are the demigods? Demigods, in the previous chapter, we are seeing that they are offering different prayers. And they are praying that we are in these heavenly planets now, on these higher planetary systems, because of our pious activities, and one day these pious activities will be finished and we have to come down again. And they are saying that if any pious activities are remaining, then let us take birth in the land of Bharatvarsh, where people are following Varnashram Dharma. And there is a favorable atmosphere to practice devotional service. That unless we have that favorable atmosphere, it's very difficult to practice. Many times people come and they say that I want to chant and practice sincerely, but in the home it is difficult because even they want to sleep early, other members are doing other activities, TV is on or neighbors are making noise. They can't get up early in the morning because it becomes so late to sleep. Even if they get early in the morning, then there are so many problems. So that atmosphere, the favorable atmosphere is not there to practice where the devotional service can grow. So therefore, the demigods are praying that let us take birth in the land of Bharatvarsh, because here there is some system, Varnashram system is there, by which if someone follows that system, then one can gradually make progress. That favorable atmosphere is there in the land of Bharatvarsh. Other places, in other planets, it's not there. Previously, means the whole planet was known as Bharatvarsh. Now, of course, it has been divided and only a particular tract of land is called as Bharat. But previously, the whole planet was known as Bharatvarsh, because there was favorable atmosphere at all the places. There would be one king ruling all over, and he would see that everyone is following properly. So that was his condition. But we can see that as the time is progressing, Kali Yuga, we are in the midst of Kali Yuga now, and we can see there are so many symptoms of Kali Yuga are there. And Shukadeva Goswami also explains later in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that what will happen in Kali Yuga. Tatascha anudinam dharmam satyam shaucham shamadaya kalena balina rajam nangshanti ayur bala smriti. Explains that as Kali Yuga progresses, all the good qualities will diminish. Satyam, Shaucham, Shamadaya. People will not be truthful. They will not be clean. They will not forgive others. They will not be tolerant. Kalena Balina Rajan. Nangshanti Ayu. Their life will reduce. Bala Smriti. They will not have strength. They will not have memory. So it's very difficult in Kali Yuga. So Lord Krishna is very merciful, and to save the people of Kali Yuga, he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this incarnation, he again establishes his supremacy. Because when Lord Krishna came just 5,000 years before, he established the principles of religion, he annihilated the miscreants, gave the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but still people they misinterpret Bhagavad Gita. They misunderstand the personality of Krishna. They think that Krishna was a big politician. He was like an ordinary king, but he had some power. He did some mystic things. So in this way, people misunderstand the personality of Krishna. So therefore, it is very important that we receive this knowledge from a proper disciplic succession. One who is not misinterpreting, giving his own ideas. Sometimes they say that everything is impersonal. That's not proper. So therefore, if you have to get the proper knowledge, then one has to approach proper authority first. That's the basic thing. And afterwards, one has to be submissively hear the message. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. That is the first step. That tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. That one should approach a bona fide spiritual master. If one wants to have this knowledge, one wants to make progress in spiritual life, then these are the basic things. Tadvidhi pranipatena. One should approach a bona fide spiritual master. And then what? Pariprashnena sevaya. One should serve the spiritual master. Humble menial servant. Without serving, we can't get proper understanding. Our understanding will remain on the intellectual or mental platform. So therefore, when one serves spiritual master, whatever service is given to us, one should serve menially. And when one pleases spiritual master, then the whole knowledge will be revealed to him. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagatikato. So therefore, to have this knowledge, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master and serve. Otherwise, our knowledge will not become perfect. And to get spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master is also not easy. In Kali Yuga, it's not easy. We may think that now it's so nice, everything is comfortable here. But we can see that previous chapter, demigods were praying that let us take birth in the land of Bharatvarsha. Those who have already taken birth, they should realize that how fortunate they are. Bharat bhumi te hoile manushya janma jat, janma sarthak kari kar paropkar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that those who take birth in the land of Bharatvarsha, they should perfect their lives first. Janma sarthak kari paropkar. And then they should go out and preach and help others. And we can see that time is so short. Nangshanti ayubal. Life is very short. We don't know how many days are remaining. So therefore, in this short span of life, the Supreme Lord is so merciful that He has given this chance to perfect our life. That shows how Lord is so merciful. In Kali Yuga, things are so difficult, but still He has sent spiritual master. We have come to this wonderful moment where Srila Prabhupada has written these wonderful books where we can read purports and understand, make our understanding very clear. And He has given such systematic program, Mangalarti, chanting session, attending Bhagavatam class. So we can, if we do these same things, it may be austerity to sit in Bhagavatam class and hear, especially when it becomes late. But that's a purification. Parikshit Maharaj was urgently hearing the message because he had only few days to leave. Only few days, 7 days to leave. He was just given notice that, okay, you are only 7 days to leave. He was a king. He left everything and sat on the banks of the Ganges and hearing, fasting and not sleeping and hearing only. And we don't know whether we have 7 days or not. So therefore, we should be more eager to hear than Parikshit Maharaj. Of course, it's difficult, but still, we should hear the message. And then we'll realize that how we are so fortunate. And if you just simply be grateful that, yes, let me practice sincerely. We may have so many anarthas, so many obstacles may come, because it's not so easy to go back home, back to God. Krishna will test everyone, whether you have qualified or not. You are qualified to enter into that supreme abode. It's not easy. We may think that, okay, now after this life I'm going back home, back to God. Not possible. If you are not become purified, you may have to come back again. So therefore, we should think that this is the only life I have been given, and let us perfect our life. And we may have to be a little tolerant with everyone, because we may think that, oh, this devotee is causing problem and that devotee is causing problem. If he is not there, then my life, spiritual life, will be perfect. So we may think like that, but Krishna has brought all of them together. If you are not tolerant with only few devotees here, how can we be tolerant in the spiritual world among so many devotees? Thousands of devotees will be serving Krishna and Radharani. We may be somewhere at the last. So we have to see that. But if you practice in the humble mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the formula that become the servant of the servant of the servant, then it's easy. As soon as one tries to become the master, then things become difficult. Even in the small domain, one wants to become master. Okay, this is my domain. Nobody should enter into this territory. I am the controller. Everyone should follow rule when he comes into this area. We may have the small domain and we may try to control that. Domain name, nowadays things are there, they try to control their domains. So everyone tries, that mentality is so deeply rooted. So therefore one has to give up that deep-rooted mentality and practice humbly. Then one can understand, things will become clear. Cheto darpanam arjanam. When the heart becomes clear, then one will understand. And then one will understand how Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story. And this story establishes how Lord Vishnu is the Supreme. And it is explained that many years before, great sages had assembled on the banks of the river Saraswati, and they were performing some yajna, satra yajna, and there were many sages, and they were thinking that who is the supreme amongst Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Whether Brahma is supreme, he creates secondary creation, Vishnu is supreme, or Shiva is supreme. So they were discussing, and they were Brahmavadis, great Brahmavadis, those who are, they like to discuss Vedas, and but they have not come to a final conclusion who is the supreme. So they decided amongst themselves that let Bhrigu Muni test everyone. Let him go and test whether Brahma is supreme, Vishnu is, Shiva is supreme. And they send Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu Muni goes to Brahma Loka, where Brahmaji is there, and he goes and he doesn't offer any obeisances or any prayers. He just stands there. Brahmaji, he thinks that Bhrigu Muni is like my son and disciple. He should offer prayers to me, he should offer pranam to me. He becomes angry. within the mind. But he controls his anger. And Bhrigumuni could understand that he is not the supreme. He became angry, but he has some other control his anger. Then he goes to Kailash mountain, where Lord Shiva is there with Parvati. And he goes there and he talks with Shiva. Shiva is like his brother, Bhrigumuni. They are all sons of Brahma. So he tells him that, oh, what you are doing here? You are putting ashes all over your body and you are so dirty, ugly looking and things like that. He offends him verbally. Shiva becomes very angry. You are saying like this to me? He takes his trident and tries to kill him. But of course, Parvati is there. She pacifies Shiva and says that, no, don't kill him. He's like your brother. Some other she controls Shiva. And then he understands that Lord Shiva is also not supreme. He became angry. Then he goes to Lord Vishnu, where Lord Vishnu is staying. He enters the room of Lord Vishnu and what he does? He kicks on the chest of Lord Vishnu. It's a great offense. Kicking the chest of Lord Vishnu. And Lakshmi Devi is serving there. But still, Lord Vishnu doesn't become angry. In fact, he tells him that, I'm very sorry that I did not receive you properly when you came in the beginning. And then he tells that, you Brahmanas are so great, you are so pure, your lotus feet are so soft, and my chest is very hard, and it might have hurt you, so let me massage your feet. And in this way, he is trying to pacify Bhrigumuni. And he says that, now since you have kicked my chest, now Lakshmi Devi will, otherwise Lakshmi Devi is Chanchala. She does not stay at one place. Now she will stay at one place, at my chest, serving. So in this way, Lord Vishnu, he proves his supremacy. Srila Prabhupada explains that when Bhrigumuni went to Brahma, he offended him mentally. He did not offer any prayers, or he just went there and stood there. So that was the mental offense. Then to Shiva, he offended verbally. He spoke offensive words to Lord Shiva. And Shiva became angry. And to Lord Vishnu, he offended bodily, corporeally. But still Lord Vishnu did not become angry. So in this pastime, we can see that how Lord proves his supremacy, that how he is a supreme person. This is just a small example. There are so many innumerable examples and pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, that how the Lord proves his supremacy. So this is in the next verses, that these the demigods, they offer different prayers to the Supreme Lord, glorifying the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. If somebody has any question or comments. No questions. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.